This is the Archaeology News Weekly for the week ending 20th of November, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. The human face has shrunk over the past 10,000 years. A team of international archaeologists are to explore the Mazandaran caves in Iran. In Scotland, there is an exceptional find of an Iron Age warrior. The Western world's oldest map is found in Apulia, in Italy. The first Harappan cemetery is found in Uttar Pradesh, in India. A heritage roadshow gets underway to preserve Cornish prehistoric sites. Neolithic finds are put on display in Gloucestershire. And an attempt to secure long-term future for archaeological sites in Lincolnshire begins. A grant helps to conserve an ancient weapons cache found by detectorists, and the first stage of Castle Hill consultation ends in the UK. It's official, the human face is shrinking. Research into people's appearance over the past 10,000 years has found that our ancestor heads and faces were up to 30% larger than now. Changes in diet are thought to be the main cause. The switch to softer farmed foods mean that jawbones, teeth, skulls and muscles do not need to be as strong as in the past. The shrinkage has also been blamed for a surge in dental problems caused by crooked or overlapping teeth. Over the past 10,000 years, there's been a trend towards rounder skulls with smaller faces and jaws, said Clark Spencer Larson, professor of anthropology at Ohio State University. This began with the rise in farming and the increasing use of cooking, which began around 10,000 years ago. His conclusions are based on measurements from thousands of teeth, jawbones, skulls and other bones collected from prehistoric sites around the world. Skulls from the site of a 9,000-year-old city in Turkey, thought to be the world's oldest, show that the faces of the city dwellers had already begun to shrink compared with contemporaries who had not settled down. Other studies are confirming these findings, with George Armalagos, professor of anthropology of Emory University in Atlanta, has made extensive measurements of people from Nubia in modern Egypt and Sudan to see how their appearance has changed. He found that the top of the head, or cranial vault, had grown higher or more rounded, a pattern also seen in human remains found at sites in other parts of the world. Charles Loring Brace, professor of anthropology at the University of Michigan, said, "Human faces are shrinking by 1 to 2% every 1,000 years. What's more, we're actually growing less teeth. 10,000 years ago, everyone grew wisdom teeth, but now only half of us get them. And other teeth, like the lateral incisors, have become much smaller. This is evolution in action. Softer food may not have been the only cause, though. Some scientists blame sexual selection, the preference of prehistoric people for partners with smaller faces." Dr. Simon Hilson of the Institute of Archaeology at University College London has studied humans living from 26,000 to 8,000 years ago. He's measured 15,000 prehistoric teeth, jaws and skulls collected by museums around the world and found that the same pattern of shrinking faces. He said, "The presumption is that people must have chosen mates with smaller, shorter faces, but quite why, this is less clear." Scholars from Lyon and Toronto universities have been asked to carry out excavations in the ancient caves of Mazandaran province in Iran. Previous studies and excavations in the cave indicate that human settlement in Mazandaran province dates back to 40,000 years ago. Mazandaran province, in the southern coastal shore of the Caspian Sea, enjoys several unique caves, including the Kushiman. Mazandaran is one of the most archaeologically rich provinces in Iran, the inhabitants of which have lived in urbanized societies from the 5th millennium BCE. Until now, a lot of mysteries of the 5,000-year-old life of these people of the region has been revealed. They are determined to start digging archaeological test pits in the Kushiman cave now. The cave has undergone excavations both before and after the revolution, but none of them were systematic, said Ali Mahfarouzi, head of the research in the Mazandaran province. No comprehensive archaeological excavations have been carried out on these caves so far. Kushiman is one of the famous caves of Mazandaran, which dates back to the Paleolithic era, and the new discoveries indicate that it was used for human habitation. The remains of an Iron Age warrior have been found in Dunbar in East Lothian, only the third grave of its kind to be found in Scotland. Archaeologists were working at the old Empire Cinema site off the High Street, which is currently being developed into flats. The well-preserved grave contained the remains of warriors, well as an iron spearhead, sword, and what was believed to be a pin. Archaeologists believe an earlier burial had been moved from its original position to accommodate the warrior before being put back to create a double burial. East Lothian Council Heritage Officer Biddy Simpson described the find as extraordinary and exceptional. Although similar multiple burials have been found in the vicinity of Dunbar, this burial was of very high quality and is one of the first to be excavated using modern archaeological techniques. The quality of the grave construction and the items within the grave strongly suggested it was a high-status burial, the findings of which are incredibly important. Project Officer Mike Roy from AOC Archaeology said it was an extremely unusual site and unlike anything else he'd previously excavated. Ronan Toulis explained that the two other Iron Age warrior graves had been excavated in Alloway and Camelon near Falkirk. The Dunbar site is a real treasure trove, he said. It is rare for a prehistoric burial to be found in a town like this. The area has now been fully excavated and the remains will be analysed by specialists. Mr. Toulis added that they would know more once the DNA analysis and carbon dating of the bones were carried out. It may also be possible to establish the area from which the warrior came by analysing his teeth. Dental tests could reveal traces of chemicals which had been present in the water he drank at the time, which would be in turn point to a geographical location. The oldest map of anywhere in the Western world, dating from 500 BCE, has been unearthed in southern Italy. Known as the Salento map, the depiction of Apulia, the heel of Italy's boot, is on the back of a black glazed terracotta vase about the size of a postage stamp. It was found in a dig led by the Belgian archaeologist Thierry van Compernol of Montpellier University 2 years ago, but its existence was kept secret until more research was carried out. The map offers, to date, for the Mediterranean and more generally for Western civilization, the oldest map of real space. It is engraved place names are indicated by points, just as on maps today, and are written in ancient Greek. The sea on the western side, Taras, today's Gulf of Taranto, is named in Greek, but the rest of the map is in Messapian, the ancient tongue of the local tribes, although the script itself is ancient Greek. The seas on either side of the peninsula, the Ionian and the Adriatic, are depicted by parallel zigzag strokes. Many of the 13 towns marked on the map, such as Taranto, Salento, Ugento, still exist. The map went on public display for the first time this week in the Archaeological National Museum of Taranto. Apart from being the oldest geographical map from classical antiquity ever found, it is the first material proof that the ancient Greeks were drawing maps of real places before the Romans. The ancient Chinese had a well-defined system of map-making, but modern cartography descends from techniques laid down by the ancient Greeks. Most existing classical maps are Roman and date from the period after Christ's birth. For thousands of years, the fields of Sinauli in western Uttar Pradesh in India hid their secret well, but now its past is out in the open. Beyond the village's brick lanes, a burial site of the Harappans dating back to about 2600 BCE has finally given up its dead. A skeleton lies in one of the trenches, the copper bangles on its hands intact, though twisted with time. A few tiny beads are scattered around. The Archaeological Survey of India's excavations at Sinauli in Bagput district, over 80 kilometres from Delhi, have found 18 skeletons. All of them have 7 terracotta vases and bowls buried near their heads. One of the graves also has a dog's head. Perhaps it was a favourite pet and was buried alongside the dead person, suggested Superintendent Archaeologist Dharamveer Sharma. The historic discovery was accidental when a farmer decided to level his field. The labourers from the village found some pots while digging and took them home. When a local with a keen interest in history saw some of the pots in his relative's house, he thought the best thing to do was tell the local press. The article was published and officials at the Archaeological Survey of India read it, and on August 17, 2005, they began their excavations. Previously, Harappan cemeteries have been unearthed at Kalibanga and Lothal. The burial ground could shed new light on the funeral practices of the Harappans, and it could also point to a larger habitation. At Sinauli, the skeletons lie with their arms crossed and the feet close to each other, head facing northwest. And 2 antennae swords belonging to the Harappan culture have been found next to 2 of the corpses. What is interesting is that the soil found here shows that the site was on the banks of the Yamuna. This river now flows 8 kilometres away. The excavation, say Sharma, will go on for another year, and after the burial ground, the team aims to move towards the habitation. This is a big burial ground, so there could be a big town buried somewhere nearby. A roving display takes to the road to highlight a major bid to help conserve and manage a significant area of landscape in southeast Cornwall in England. Its aim is to raise awareness about the Caradon Hill Area Heritage Project and the special features of the area's landscape, which include moorland, farmland, wooded steep valleys, industrial remains and Neolithic sites such as Treve Coit. The display is one phase of the Heritage Lottery Fund bid planned by Caradon District Council and Cornwall County Council for next year, which could secure funds for restoration, preservation and enhancement work suggested by the community. The proposed project area covers around 58 square miles to the north of Liscaird, centred around Caradon Hill. The area is of great heritage and environmental importance, with part lying in an area of outstanding natural beauty and the remainder in an area of great landscape value. The display includes information about the project, plus photographs and pieces describing the area's qualities. The roadshow will be on display at Liscaird and District Museum from November the 17th to the 20th, St Clair Memorial Hall from November 21st to 27th, Upton Cross Primary School from November the 28th to December the 4th, Pensilva Millennium House from December the 5th to the 11th, and Minions Heritage Centre from December the 12th onwards. Neolithic stone axe finds from the forest created huge interest at a county conference held at 5 Acres in Gloucestershire, England. The event in the Royal Forest of Dean College Theatre was organised by the Committee for Archaeology in Gloucestershire and featured several visiting speakers. They were celebrating 21 years of archaeological work in the forest and talked about flint finds and took along a display case of all the Neolithic stone axe samples that the members had unearthed locally. These provoked a great deal of interest amongst people who attended the conference. The next major event is in the Shoveller's Shindig at the Royal British Legion in Lindi on March the 11th next year. Heritage groups are calling on British government to secure the long-term future of important archaeological sites in the Lincolnshire Wolds. English Heritage, the National Trust, DEFRA and organisations including the Heritage Lottery Fund want to reduce pressures on rural historic landscapes. Together they have contributed research and analysis for the most comprehensive report ever on the state of England's rural environment, called Heritage Counts 2005. The Lincolnshire Wolds has been named as an area of important needs and requiring special attention. Chairman of the East Midlands Heritage Forum, Dr. Anthony Streeton, said that the Lincolnshire Wolds has been recognised for its legacy of prehistoric sites, wealth of historic landscape features and important ancient trackways, but it also has the most scheduled monuments at risk through arable cultivation in the region. By scheduling a monument, a site of national importance is legally protected. Neolithic long barrows are the oldest visible monuments in the British landscape. 4/5 on Lincolnshire Wolds have already been destroyed or damaged by ploughing. This year's audit of the historic environment singles out areas like these as making a large contribution to our environment. Heritage Counts 2005 claims attention needs focusing on the Wolds to conserve and enhance this special and fascinating landscape. The Heritage Forum wants the government to further promote access and understanding to the Wolds. Copies of Heritage Counts 2005 can be obtained from English Heritage on 0870 333 1181. That was 0870 333 1181. The East Riding of Yorkshire Council's Museum Service has won an award of £130,000 from the Heritage Lottery Fund for the purchase and conservation of an ancient weapons cache. The cache consists of 5 iron swords in elaborately decorated scabbards, as well as 35 iron spearheads. 3 metal detector users found them in 2001 near South Cave in Yorkshire, in England. Once the finds have been purchased, a lengthy process of expert conservation and analysis will bring them up to display standard. The hoard will then go on display in a specially constructed case at the Treasure House at Beverley. Other elements of the project include a detailed publication of the finds and an educational programme built around them. The latter will include a series of children's workshops, a Celtic Life Day, Iron Age memory boxes for schools, and a lecture series. East Riding Council has contributed £44,000 towards the cost of the project. Niall Adams, Principal Museums Officer, said the weapons cache found by detectorists would form the centrepiece of the Treasure House exhibition space. This is the biggest archaeological find in the area for a decade and will attract many visitors. The first stage of the public consultation about the future of Castle Hill in Huddersfield, UK, has now finished. Atkins Global, the company that has been tasked with investigating the public's attitude towards this Iron Age hill fort, has reported the questionnaire a great success. Many members of the public have put their views across by answering the questionnaires on the streets of Huddersfield and on the hill itself, as well as via online and postal forms. Public interest in the hill has been fantastic and the questionnaire was a great success, said Gareth Talbot of Atkins Global. It's encouraging that so many people want to have their say and it speaks volume for the attachment and feelings that people have for the place. The process continues with a draft report, a final public consultation and then the completed management action plan early next year. Watch this space, as they say. New archaeological and heritage employment opportunities as well as an improved UK heritage calendar and library section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can be found on Stonepages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly and we hope you'll return again next week.